Hey folks, in this interview, it's all about photography education with the photo mentor herself, Darlene Hildebrandt.
This is TWIP.
Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. Today, I have the distinct honor and pleasure of having a longtime friend of mine, Darlene Hildebrandt, on the show to discuss a topic that's near and dear to both of our hearts, and that's education and, you know, well, two topics, education and photography. We're going to talk about both of those, and it's more specifically, what's kind of the state of the union in that area? You know, is it still save your money, go to a brick and mortar school? Is it buy a bunch of workshops? Is it forget all that and just learn from YouTube? Is it buy courses online? Darlene is here to demystify all that for us and sort of dive into it. Yeah. So Darlene, how you doing? It's long time no see.
It's been too long, Frederick. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm good. It's good to see your face. You never change. The smiling face is always exactly the same. I love that. So.
A few more, as my hairdresser called, sparkly hairs these days.
Own those. I love those. Mm. That's good. That is good. That means you, each one means you are wiser than people that don't have those. So.
Let's hope. I'm really wise then.
Keep the sparklies rolling. Before we dive into the meat of the conversation, I want to talk about the, just sort of, you know, the state of your union, the state of digitalphotomentor.com and all that stuff, you know.
And what's new and great?
Yeah, the world that you've built. You've got a storied history. I mean, you've worked with some amazing companies. You've been in the education space as long as I have, at least. So what's going on? What are you guys working on? What are you building? What's the state of the union?
So about, as you mentioned, I've been involved in the education of photographers for a while now. I've been teaching locally for 8 years already, and I was the managing editor of Digital Photography School, DPS, for 5 years. And I left DPS a year ago to branch out and expand my own horizons, and they wished me well. And, you know, we're all in good terms, and we still talk, and that's great. And in the last year, we've been building out more photography tours. I've been to India and Vietnam and Peru in the last 12 months. I posted on my Facebook a while ago that in the last 12 months, I've been on 27 actual different airplanes and been to 7 different countries.
Wow. That is good. So you know what that means? That means, so we in the beginning, we decided to focus this interview on education. Clearly, there needs to be another one that we do that talks about travel and how to do it without losing all your stuff, right?
Yeah. And I think they go hand in hand together as well, you know, like travel and photography and education, because on the tours is a great opportunity for people who aren't usually in sort of immersed in photography as a day-to-day endeavor. It gives them a chance to just, that's all they're focused on is taking pictures and learning about their camera every single day for 2 weeks or whatever it is. And just by osmosis, they're going to go home with some more knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. And just the idea of putting yourself in out of your comfort zone, right? It's like whenever, even if it's just like for me, even if it's just going to the next town over or into San Francisco, I mean, this is the burbs of San Francisco, but going into San Francisco proper, you get a different energy. And, you know, it kind of starts tickling different creative synapses that make you want to try stuff. So
totally.
That's totally cool. So let's switch gears and talk about education. So I'll set the stage here. So there's different modalities of learning, right? Some people learn better by having their butt in a seat and an instructor in front of the class. Some people learn better solo. Some people learn better one-on-one. Some people, you know, hey, YouTube, give me YouTube and a topic. I'll figure it out. And I'll you know, deconstruct my favorite photograph that way. Some people need online courses that are focused on a particular subject or topic. How do you, what's best, you know, from the photo mentor herself, what's the best process to going from, you know, people saying, hey, Jane, you might have chops as a photographer. You should really pursue this, to actually being good. How do you get good?
So I think the key, you missed one, actually one modality of learning, and that is by doing. And I think, like I talk about this in my classes when I teach in-person classes, and I actually had one last night. We talked about the basics of processing last night. And you learn either, there's actually studies done on this, you learn by either listening to somebody else speak, so that could be a video or an in-person live class, or by reading, right? So an ebook or something like that, or by doing. And I think most people learn best with a combination of all three, right? So in my live classes, I try and incorporate a little bit of everything, right? So I have them, you know, write their own notes. I have them listen to me for a while, and then we actually, you know, get their cameras out and we're actually doing stuff, or computers if we're doing processing, by doing. Like, if I go way back in my history, right, like we're going back 30 years now, I'm going to date myself here again, here comes the, you know, sparkly hairs. 30 plus years ago, I went to a photography college and did a 2-year program, which was a, you know, a degree program in photography. And I've been asked that, the question is, if I was to do it all over again now, would I do that? You know, there's been debates about, you know, college programs, like you mentioned, and would I do that? And I can't honestly say with certainty that I would at the, in this day and age, because there's so many other avenues available that, you know, you can learn from, like you said, YouTube and all of those things. What college does give you, and what a lot of my students always ask me in my classes, is, when am I going to get it? When is there going to be this magic aha moment? The light bulb's going to go on, and then all of a sudden, you know, I understand my camera and I understand light and all these other things. And my answer is always the same: when you put in your 10,000 hours, right? Yeah. And if you're doing a college program course where you're doing it every day and you have homework, you're going to get your 10,000 hours faster. Right.
Yeah. 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 Someone once told me, I forget who it was, but someone once used that same sort of 10,000 hour analogy, but they were saying, from a photographer standpoint, just think of your shutter finger as being filled with 1 million bad images. And the only way to get to the good ones are to get the bad ones out, because it's linear, right? So just take, you got to keep taking pictures to get rid of all those bad shots.
Isn't that a Cartier-Bresson quote or something?
Is it? I don't know. I don't know. So maybe.
There's a famous quote, and maybe it's Cartier-Bresson, but it sounds like something that he would have said about, you know, your worst pictures are your first 10 million or 10,000 or whatever.
I love that. That is so appropriate, because it's, practice, practice, practice. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, right?
Right.
So on that topic, though, that's where the line gets blurry, right? Because we're in this world of creativity. Everything's moving, even more so now than, you know, back in the day, right? Remember back in the day when it was film, and if Nikon or whomever released a new camera, it was a big deal, right? Or if Photoshop or Adobe released a new version of Photoshop, it was a huge deal, because now we have all these new superpowers. Those days are gone, or they're much more frequent, so we're numb to them. So how do photographers, you know, sort of stay on top of that while also getting good? Because you're like, okay, there's a new camera, it's got this, I got to think about megapixels, I got to think about video now, 6K, 8K, 4K, now I got to have a website, I got to learn WordPress, now I got to do, you know, it goes on and on and on. What's the mentor's suggestion for focusing on the wheat and letting the chaff go?
I'm glad you asked me that, because I actually said to the group last night that I'm a bit of a controversial teacher in some avenues, because I disagree with a lot of other teachers and a lot of ways that a lot of other photography teachers teach. I don't profess that you should shoot in manual and be a photographer. To be a photographer, you have to shoot in manual. I actually tell them the opposite is true, that you should learn step by step and, you know, build up to that, because the cameras are so complicated. Just saying, okay, I'm going to shoot it all manual, and then people get confused and they start shooting manual focus as well, because they think it's the same thing, you know? So my advice is to learn one thing until you've mastered it, and then learn the next thing, you know, like learn one button on your camera today, learn another button on your camera tomorrow. I did a photography challenge on my website. I can share the link with you if you like, about 30 days to becoming one or practicing with your camera every day. And excuse me, what it does is gets you using your camera for 5 minutes, 10 minutes every day, so that you learn something new about it. And in the process of doing that, a lot of people said that they were in the point where they were going to trash their camera and buy a new one, which is kind of everybody's first instinct, right? It's like, oh, my pictures aren't good enough, I need a new camera. Well, no, maybe it's not your camera, right? Mm-hmm. What if it's you? Yeah. So my challenge is to really learn your gear and get outside of that whole, you know, the GAS syndrome, you know, the GAS gear acquisition.
Oh, yeah.
Get away from the, you know, I have to have the latest, greatest, you know, squirrel, always being distracted by the next thing that's coming down the line, and use what you have to its absolute maximum, you know, and when you find that you've reached its limits, then consider upgrading. Like right now, I'm using a six-year-old laptop. And I'm finding that I think my graphic card is failing, which sucks, but it's served me well. And I haven't updated to the latest, greatest, you know, MacBook Pro. I've avoided doing that on purpose because there's nothing wrong with my computer.
Yeah.
And I didn't upgrade from the Fuji X-T1 to the X-T2 just because it came out. I waited until the 3 came out because it had some additional features, but that was like 3 years in between, you know?
Yeah.
Like you said, when we had film cameras, I never upgraded my film cameras because there was no reason to.
Yeah, I was like, there's new film, there, a new film stock came out. Let's try that out, right, with my old camera. And so, I know, and it sounds dated and old fogey-ish to, you know, some of the new photographers, like, you know, but we have all this new technology, things are advancing faster now, and I get that. But I think part of the challenge for a lot of photographers is to not get swept up in that world of the like you said, gear acquisition syndrome or upgrade-itis, or what I see in my decade plus of podcasting, what I've seen is people that use the fake need for a new piece of kit, whether it be a computer, lights, camera, whatever, as an excuse not to shoot. You know, in other words, if I was Darlene Hildebrandt and I had her Fuji, I could do shots like that too, but I can't. So I'm not going to even try. Right.
Yeah.
Do you see that with your students?
Oh, yeah. We actually had that conversation last night. Again, somebody had just bought, upgraded to a 6D Mark II. And, you know, we even had this conversation about, well, if I said, you actually have a better camera than I do because I'm shooting with a crop sensor Fuji. That's, you know, a year old or whatever, and you've got a full frame Canon. So technically you have the pro camera.
Yeah.
So let's swap and who's going to get better pictures. And she's like, she says, well, you, of course, you know, because I don't have 30 years of experience that you have. Right. So it's not, I mean, there's another sort of that phrase out there of it's not about the camera. It's not the gear. It's what you do with it. And it's your experience. But I think until you can actually internalize that, there's still that niggling feeling that, okay, I need to have a better camera because mine is holding me back. And I think, you know, that's where like the word mentor comes in, whether it be me or somebody local, or join a camera club. You know, if you don't have any other options, join a local camera club and find some mentors there, because there's all kinds of different experience levels within a group of photographers like that, and that you could find somebody more experienced to help you out, you know, on where you're stuck. I also tell people, you know, it doesn't matter when you pick up a camera or, you know, what stage of life you're in, because people feel almost embarrassed that, oh, I'm just beginners, right? Well, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. You are where you are. And if you just started, that's fine. You know, I'm sure that you have life skills or business skills in the work area that I don't have, right? And nor, you know, would it take me 30 years to get where you're at in that area? So just be patient with yourself, give yourself a break. And the advice I gave her was, you know, she said, well, you know, it's, and I've heard this before, I'm looking at all these great pictures on the internet and I want mine to look like that. And I feel like I'm doing something wrong. I'm not good enough. Right. And I said, well, stop comparing yourself to other people's pictures and compare your pictures from right now to your pictures from a year ago. Right. And if they're better now than they were a year ago, you're going in the right direction. Keep going that way.
Yeah. And how do you do that though? So just to continue down that line of thinking, you know, for better or for worse, the beast that is social media, right? With people sharing images on Instagram and, you know, whatever, you know, it's in the olden days, not to make this about the olden days, but in the olden days there, for better or for worse, there was a limited audience that could see the images that you were shooting.
Yeah.
And which meant there's limited impact on other of your work from other people. You could kind of work in a vacuum for the most part, which is good and bad. And the good part is, of what we have today is you could take a shot and tomorrow a million people could see it. It could go viral, etc. Back then, you could take a shot, could be the best shot in the world. If a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, it doesn't make a sound, right? So to that end, if as you're progressing down the line of learning how to be a good photographer or learning to get good, how do you kind of tune out all that noise that's around you and not be influenced by, you know, hey, I think I did this great shot and now, mm-hmm. you know, I just saw this shot by Renee Robin, looks amazing and mine looks like crap, so I'm not going to post it. Like, how do you get past that and get to the point where you're confident?
So I think two pieces. You need to find somewhere that you can share your, first of all, you have to be not afraid to share. You have to be not afraid to share your images and to accept feedback, right? But and a constructive criticism. And then the second thing that I want to say is choose your feedback sources carefully, right? Mm-hmm. So putting something up on Facebook or putting it in a big group, I see so many of these massive groups on Facebook, you know, have hundreds of thousands of members and so on. And a lot of times the feedback is either unhelpful, rude, nasty, you know, or downright just irrelevant. So choose where you place your images, especially if you're starting out and you're sharing for the first time, you know, again, back to like a camera club or a smaller group. But definitely you want to share with other photographers, other people who are doing this. Because if you share it with your family and friends, of course, they're going to say, it's amazing, right? I mean, it's like, my mom likes every single thing I put on Facebook, because that's her job, right? Mm-hmm. She's my mom. And if you only share with people who are going to be nice to you, then you won't grow either. So you want to share and ask for feedback, and how you ask is important as well. You know, like just posting an image and saying, here's my picture I took of my dog or my cat or whatever. You want to ask for specific feedback, you know, like, what do you think of this image? How do you like the composition? Is the lighting good? Could I have done anything differently here to make it better? So the questions that you ask when you share are going to give you the kind of feedback that you want as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. What is the right questions, or what are the right questions? Here's another, speaking of good questions, here's another question. So in the world of photography, as compared and contrasted with other specialties, let's, you know, could be whatever, marketing, it could be, you know, medical or whatever, those other many or most other professions that people choose to go in that are not specifically creative or subjective like photography requires some sort of credential, right, in order for you or someone to say and look at your work and say, yeah, Darlene's made it. She can, you know, let me sign that. She's got her degree in this, or she is now certified in that. There's not that sort of thing in photography. There used to kind of be with Brooks and other photography institutions, but even when those were around, it was kind of like, you know, stuff changes so quickly. You know, what's in your portfolio today might be crap tomorrow. What's the state of the union from a mentor standpoint? What's the state of the union or the current thinking in terms of what, you know, how you prove yourself worthy to someone that may want to hire you?
Well, I think we also want to have the discussion too about what is your goal with your photography, right? Like you're talking more in terms of portfolio, and do you want to, you know, get paid gigs with this, with your stuff, right? With your work, versus a lot of my students in particular just want to take nice pictures for themselves, right? Like we had this again discussion last night about how many megapixels do you need, because what are you doing with it? You know, if you're just putting it on Facebook or even on an online portfolio or even making, you know, like a little blurb book or something 8x10, you don't need a 45 megapixel Nikon full frame camera. Like you really don't.
Yeah.
Or medium format or whatever. Like you just don't need it. And so my first thing would be, okay, what is your goal, right? What do you want to do with your photography? And I get a lot of people that say, well, I'd ultimately, you know, I'd love to make a living from it, or I'd like to make some money on the side, or maybe, you know, I had an email conversation with somebody about making money doing stock photography, which in this day and age as well is extremely hard. Mm-hmm. Like I know people who were making a full-time income in stock and the bottom has fallen out, you know, it's in the toilet, because you can buy, you know, like, I'm going to exaggerate, like a million stock images for $10, you know, on royalty-free websites.
Or get them free. Yeah. On PixieSet or something like that. Yeah.
Unsplash or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I use it, you know, and lots of people use it. So And the photographer gets like 10% of that money. So making a living doing those things is really hard. And making a living doing photography is really hard. You know, like people think, oh, I really love doing this, so I'm going to do it as a living. So what I would challenge you is, because I've made a lot of my living, or most of my living during my entire career, from photography in some way, shape, or form, let me tell you this. And the phrase is that the photography business, and I'll use the air quotes, is 90% business and 10% photography. Yeah. So if you want to be doing 100% photography, don't go into business, because you're going to need to also know things about, and we were talking about this before we started recording, WordPress, and you mentioned that. You're going to need to know about how to handle your bookkeeping. I got a bookkeeping nightmare right now and stacks of paper on my desk right now. You're going to need to know how to market and sell. People are afraid of selling. They think it's a bad word, right? So you need to be able to sell your images and get people to pay you for them. And if you can't do that, then you're not going to be able to make a living. So all of those things are whole other areas of education that you need to get if you want to run a business, right?
Yeah.
But if you want to do photography and love it and always, you know, do it for yourself, then don't worry about getting paid gigs and just do photography because you love doing photography. You know, whether you're an accountant or a brain surgeon or you can tell I've been watching too much Grey's Anatomy. Everybody there has a brain tumor, right? You know, it's like, just do photography for the reason that you want to do it.
But if they're doing it for the reason that they want to do it, or, you know, here's that, you remember the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Yeah.
So one of the, I think it was in that book, but it was the idea that the dream is to, okay, you're working your day job and you have this hobby at night that you love doing, you dream of doing it, you know, when you're sitting in meetings at work, and then you know, one day you decide to make the leap and start doing that thing as a business. And then you become to resent that thing because of all of the stuff, like the pile of papers on your desk and, you know, all the other widgets that go around it, because now you have to make that dog run and generate revenue because, you know, it's no longer just a hobby. What are the dangers of that? Right. Of taking your photography. In other words, should people, if you love photography, should you think twice about trying to make a business out of it and just stay, you know, in it for the love of, which is amateur, versus trying to go pro and risk polluting your dream?
Well, I think there's a real danger of doing that. And the biggest danger is burnout, right? Burnout. And then, like you said, you start to resent it and then you don't love photography anymore, which is the reason you got into it in the first place.
Yeah.
So I would say that before you do it, you know, I'm not saying don't do it, but before you do it, you know, go in with your eyes open, do some research, talk to other people who are doing it full time and see, you know, it's hard to get somebody that's willing to give you honest answers. That's the other thing, you know, is you could talk to six photographers and they're all going to, you know, tell you sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, right? That everything's great when it's really not. You know, they're working 80 hours a week and they're paying themselves $30,000 a year, maybe. Yeah. I mean, go look at the stats for the average number of hours that a photographer works a week and their average salary. And it's abysmal, I have to say, right?
Yeah. And then
so
the
I'm
other
not saying
side
don't
of
do it. Just go in with some
go in with your eyes open.
Yeah.
Right. And the other side of it is just on the same topic of money is, we kind of talked about this in the beginning, but in my opinion, I think in a lot of cases, money is it holds you back. Because I know some photographers that have, you know, relatively unlimited flows of income, you know, or people that have unlimited flows of income. They're not, but photography is a hobby. So they've purchased every piece of gear, every drone, every lens, every 360 camera, everything. They have it all and don't know how to use any of it, right? Because they could afford it. So they just, you know, Amazon Prime, boom, is here tomorrow. I got it, you know, and they'll use it versus the people that have to scrimp and scrape and walk 10 miles, you know, to get that next lens. And then they shoot the heck out of that lens until the legs fall off of it. What are your thoughts on that? You know, because there's multiple kinds of people in the world. Some people just love buying stuff, you know. Other people want to create art. How do you reconcile that money is evil in terms of creativity idea?
Well, to bring it back full circle to the education thing, right? Like if you have unlimited money, that's good for you. But I would say don't spend all your money in one place, right? Don't put it all into gear, right? Don't buy a 500, you know, mil lens if you're not photographing birds, right, or wildlife, right? Like, get the stuff that is applicable to what you're shooting and what you need, and figure out what you're shooting before you go buy it, and take the rest of that money that you would spend on another full frame body or something. I mean, I've had students come to my classes that have exactly what you just described. They've got, like, I know one person had like four full frame bodies and like an entire rolling bag of lenses. It was like 10 times more stuff than I have, right?
Yeah.
And it was crazy amount of stuff. I've seen people buy studio lighting and strobes and they have no idea how to use it. I did a tutoring session with a lady several years ago when I was doing one-on-one tutoring, and I went to her house to help her, and she said, I can't get a good exposure. Everything I shoot is overexposed. Well, I went in, took my handheld light meter, which nobody even knows what that is anymore, set up her lights, metered them, set up a main light, a fill light, a backlight, a hair light. She had four lights, and she had no idea what she was doing. She just turned them all on and turned her camera on, took a picture, and it was white, right? So then I metered it, set her camera, took one picture. Of course, it was the perfect exposure, and she's like, how did you do that? Right? I said, because I learned this stuff. I've been doing this for 30 years, you know? And people buy, like exactly what you just said, buy gear and they have no idea how to use it. Or they have no idea where to go to get help to use it as well, right? Like, she didn't know where to turn. So I was able to help her in that like 2-hour session that we did, learn how to use her gear. And she went out and bought a light meter and she was good to go. So I would say spend some of your money that you might have allocated in buying more gear and spend that on education. So whatever that looks like for you, if you've got courses that are available locally where you can go and put your butt in a chair and sit in a classroom, you know, do that, start there. I do workshops. I know lots of other photographers and educators do workshops. Like, I have a workshop in Southern Alberta and I have another one in Western Canada. And we have another one in Scotland on landscape photography. So if you want to go do a workshop, that's giving you a little bit more extensive learning opportunity where it's over several days and it might be on a particular topic, you know, like landscape, or the ones that I'm doing here in Canada are more sort of beginner intermediate. So I give you an experience of, like, for example, in the Okanagan, we photograph a moving stream. So we do long exposures and playing with neutral density filters. We go and shoot some sunset stuff. So we play around with bracketing and HDR. We do a portrait of a winemaker in the vine. So we're playing with some portraits. Nice. And, you know, because it's in wine country, we also get to sip some wine. Yeah. So that's never a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
So spend some of your hard-earned money on actually getting out there and getting some education. And I do think that there is still value in, you know, face-to-face opportunities.
Love it. All right. So Darlene, just to wrap things up, I want to talk a little bit about where people can kind of dive in right now, right? If they want to start learning about this stuff. I know, like we said at the beginning, you are the digital photo mentor herself personified, which means you have some courses available and that sort of thing. If people want to take the digital version of you and learn from her, how do they go about doing that?
We have lots of stuff on the website, digitalphotomentor.com. They can sign up and get our weekly email. I have an article that comes out every week. For example, I don't know when you're going to publish this, but as of our time of talking this week, we have one on mountain photography tips. So how to get better photos of mountains. Recently, we've done mobile phone photography tips. I've done some processing tips. So there's something that comes out every week and they can get notice of that. And if they go to our page on courses, we have two courses available. One is aimed at beginners. So if you're more into, you need to learn the basics of the exposure triangle and things like that, that would be more what you're looking for. And then we have one that's specifically on people and portrait photography, if that's your interest.
That's cool. So that's all at where are those located right now?
Digitalphotomentor.com. is our main website, and I believe /courses. I have to confirm that is where the courses are.
Perfect.
But they can sign up. They can sign up for the email on any page. Basically, there'll be like a little thing in the side for them to sign up.
Love that. Love that. Congratulations on everything you're doing. You're crushing it over there. You guys are the I want to say solopreneurs, but you're not solo because it's you and your husband. You guys are
duopreneurs.
You're duopreneurs, right? Dualpreneurs.
We'll make a new term.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, congratulations on everything you're doing, and many more successes to you. And thank you for what you're doing to contribute to the photography community in terms of education and all that. Because it's a, you know, as you know, photography's fun, but getting over certain hills of understanding can be pretty rocky. And once you get it, and you're like, oh, that's what it means. That's what the inverse square law means. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you got it.
And you know the thing, I actually really enjoy. When I started teaching 8 years ago, it kind of was an accident. Like I was working in a camera store, and the owner of the camera store, he comes in, and I was working in the office at the time, part-time, and he comes in, he goes, they ever taught any classes? Or I go, yeah, I've done stuff like just day workshops kind of things for like photo, you know, PPOC members when I was at. And he goes, would you like to teach a class in the store? And I go, okay. And he goes, okay, well, you build it and we'll sign him up. So that's kind of how I started teaching. Was it was just like, okay, yeah, I'll give that a go. And what I discovered in the process was that I actually really love it as well. Because like, you know, if you, like I don't have kids, but my niece and nephew, you know, go to Christmas Day at their house, it's more exciting there than it is in our house because they have that excitement of opening their gifts Christmas Day, right? Yeah. And for me, when I have my students have that aha moment that you just described, it's like Christmas Day for me, right? So having my students get to the place where they go, oh, okay, I get it. That's what turns me on. That's
yeah, you live. Yeah, you live for the decisive epiphany moment, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I hear
and
you.
And I just so everybody knows too. I mean, like a lot of websites and things offer courses and free articles and stuff. But I would like to say that, like, I personalize my stuff as much as possible, and I treat my students as friends, you know, and I go for coffee with some of them regularly here locally. And I answer every email that I get from my readers. So it's not this, I don't want to be this impersonal, you know, person that's up here. I want to interact and get to know my followers and my readers as a human being.
Love it. Love it. Truer words were never spoken. Yeah. Connect on a human level is the world needs more of that, right? I mean, No, that's really good. Cool. Okay, so one more time, if the website URL is?
DigitalPhotoMentor.com. Right. And they can find me on Instagram as DP Mentor as well.
All right, Darlene Hildebrand, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you.
Good to see you.
This is Twitter.